Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
St. Xavier University is for students who want more out of their future. We pride ourselves on preparing graduates with the skills they need to succeed in life. Visit xxu.edu to start plotting your path to a brighter tomorrow. St. Xavier University, the best in you.
Welcome to the Under Center podcast presented by St. Xavier University. I'm always fortunate enough to be joined by our Bears insider, Josh Schrock. Follow him at Schrock_and_off. Our Bears beat reporter, Alex Shapiro. Follow him, Alex Shapiro, NBCS. And also sticking with beat reporter from the Sun-Times, we're lucky enough to have Jason Leisure, also co-host of the Sports Adjacent podcast. You can find that where you get your podcasts and follow him at Jason Leisure. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Ken. Thanks for having me, man. What's up, Josh and Alex?
Hey, man, good to see you. Jason, great to see you again, buddy.
Are you getting any time to kind of rest up now that the season is over before the draft and everything else picks up, outside of course, the Kevin Warren hire? And I definitely want to talk to you next about that.
A little. Now, everyone, like even people that should know better, don't. Like, people always are like, oh, so you just lay around for the next 6 months? I'm like, no, that would be great. Like, oh, do you go cover spring training or something? No, there's really like enough of this to keep you relatively busy. There's like 6 months of the year where you work almost every day, all day during the season. And then there's this 6 months of the year, like now until July, where you work closer to like a normal person's schedule. So I have some time. Like this week, I'll probably be mostly off, which is pretty good. But like next week, Senior Bowl, after that, you get into the Super Bowl, the combine, free agency, the owners meetings, OTAs. There's still a lot going on year round in football. That's part of the idea of it, Ken. Like they want this in the news cycle at least 11 months a year.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I enjoy it, but being on the other side of it, it can get a little hectic. But I do enjoy more of the calendar year, how the NFL has just jacked it up, taken it over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, when you cover a team like the Bears that aren't in the playoffs, this is the busy time of the year, right? It's because it's always about what's next. How do they improve?
Take that dig, dude.
Well, I'm just saying it's the truth, right? You cover a team that goes to the championship game of the Super Bowl. I mean, you get a little bit of a low because there's not a lot of change going on, but with the team like the Bears, it's hope springs eternal. So what's coming next?
Yeah. The last good team I covered was, it was exhausting.
Yeah.
It was the year of the Heat. I was covering the Miami Heat. And they went to the NBA Finals against the Spurs and lost. But the Finals goes all the way until the mid-June. And then the draft is right after that. And free agency is right after that. Summer League is in the middle of all of that. Like, it is exhausting. It is nice to get the little break and to, you know, pretty much reliably be able to count on that in January when you're covering the Bears or the Dolphins.
So that is more exhausting for you, covering a long playoff stretch and all that, rather than talking about what are the Bears going to do with the number one pick in the draft for 3 months or however long we're going to do it?
Well, it's certainly more fun. It's more fun to cover a good team like that, but it is just one thing into another. Like this, getting a break this week because the Bears happen to not be in the NFC Championship game is nice. It's nice to be able to catch up on some things.
And that is it, right? The Bears just happen to not be in the NFL.
Just so happens.
Yeah, couple breaks here or there.
Ball bounced the other way. Super Bowl. All right. So look, let's start off with the organization. And of course, we now know that the Bears have hired Kevin Warren over from the Big Ten. He hasn't started yet. Your thoughts on the hire and also his press conference from last week, Jason?
He's a pretty cool person. I don't think you could deny that. I think that's an unbiased, like just looking at him with clear eyes, the guy is an impressive person. I mean, his life story of nearly dying in a car accident when he was 11 and being in traction for a year, overcoming that to become a college basketball player at Penn and Grand Canyon, and then going on to have an incredible career in business and law and sports administration. All of that is, you know, more than checks every box of what you're looking for as someone who can lead your organization, like very, very good track record. And, you know, his press conference, I don't know how much I read into stuff like that. It's same as if you go back about a calendar year from now and look at the polls and Eberflus press conferences, you don't learn that much about what they're going to do in those things. You learn by then watching what they actually do. And so we learned really quickly, Ryan Poles is unloading Khalil Mack. He is being very, very tight with his money in free agency. You started to see what he was going to do. What he actually does speaks a lot louder than what he says he's going to do in the press conference. And so that's going to be the case with Kevin Warren too. And the three fronts that you're really looking at with Kevin Warren are the stadium. I think that's the most obvious, is that this guy is here to deliver a brand new, sparkling, incredible stadium in Arlington Heights. Secondly, and very heavily intertwined with that, will be raising the value of the franchise, which I think is already, you know, close to $6 billion. But that's a team president's job, is to get that up even higher in case there was any inclination to sell at some point. And thirdly, and he would say this is first, I would say this is probably third in real life when you hire a team president. But thirdly is to get them winning again. And one of the interesting things I find about Kevin Warren is that he says he is qualified to be Ryan Poles' boss. And we have not been getting that signal from Hallis Hall the last few years, that George McCaskey will say in one breath, oh, I'm not a talent evaluator, I'm just a fan. And in another breath, well, I've been doing this all my life, so I know what I'm doing. But when it came down to it, Ken, and they had to figure out Ryan Pace, stay or go, they had to bring in a consultant for that. They had to bring in Bill Polian to decide, you know, to really help them figure out and then help them replace him. Kevin Warren asked specifically about that last week, said, no, I'm not going to need help figuring that out. I've been around this long enough. I've been around a Super Bowl team in St. Louis with the Rams. I've been around teams that are really, that have done well, teams that have done very poorly. I've been around this long enough that I will know if Ryan Poles is doing a good job or not. So those would be the three things where we're really going to see how it goes with Kevin Warren. And the stadium, I think, is really number one, no matter what he says. And he is going to need some time to figure all that out. But I would expect to be getting clear answers from him about a timeline and a full commitment to Arlington Heights come summer. And I think that's going to speak louder than anything he said in the press conference, if that happens.
Does your anticipation for what this Arlington Park project can be change now that Kevin Warren is in the fold? Because, you know, we've been talking about it for so long. Hey, they want to build Bears World and we'll see this, that, and the other thing. Now that Kevin Warren's in charge, does your anticipation change for that?
It does a little bit, Alex, in the sense that they hired a guy who is specifically talented at that. And Kevin Warren has other talents and other valuable experiences in his career, but he specifically was around when they were opening Ford Field. He was with the Lions, but more so was fully involved in a lot of different ways from start to finish on US Bank Stadium with the Vikings, which, in my opinion, when you look at stadiums around the league, they're all better than Soldier Field, but SoFi is clearly the best. There is, and it should be. It was $6 billion to make that, I believe. Everything else, all the other new stadiums you see are in the like $1.2 to $1.9 billion price tag. Of all of the ones in that weight class, Minnesota is the best to me. Minnesota is the most impressive in terms of how it looks, how it feels, how they have so much glass and get all that natural light in. And you, that's what you would want in Arlington Heights. You'd want to be able to be inside in November, December, January, but you'd want to have that sunlight. We get a little bit of it. You'd want to have some of that natural light in there to where it still looks like it's outside. And I think that that looks better than Atlanta, Dallas. I think it looks better than Vegas. Like, they just really nailed that stadium. And Kevin Warren believed that too. Those actually were his exact words when I asked him about it. He said, when we were done with that, we nailed it. And he just went back there last fall and had the same thought, like, nothing I would want to change. This was perfect. So when you bring in a team president who views that as the perfect model of a stadium, and now you give him 326-acre blank canvas to build whatever he wants, it's going to be something like that. But then, as you alluded to with Bears World, a lot more. There's a lot more that they can do around that.
Jason, I want to go back to something that you had just mentioned a second ago when you were talking about Palace as far as George and kind of not having a clear direction of, do you know what you're doing, or are you just someone who's naive or you don't know? In past situations, just to say, you just mentioned the Heat earlier, and you're talking about like a Mickey Arison. Does it matter as much because down there you had Pat Riley basically running everything? Or does it matter that an owner does have a clear direction and knows what they don't know and knows who they have to have in place to make sure that the organization operates properly, in your opinion?
I think what matters is an owner who wants every part of an organization to be excellent. And I think that's what makes the Miami Heat, the San Antonio Spurs, the New England Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers, what they are. Even though the Rooneys or the Maras or the Arisons or whoever aren't making those actual decisions on who to trade or who to play more or whatever, like, they are insisting upon excellence in every single facet of their organization. George McCaskey doesn't have a business background with Carnival Cruise or Kraft or whatever. Like, he doesn't have that experience of running a corporation and insisting upon that. That will be Kevin Warren's job to come in now. And so really for George McCaskey, it's about, did you hire the right guy who can insist upon that in every area? And the Bears are not known for that. This isn't just me taking a gratuitous shot at the Bears. The Bears don't have that reputation. They do not have a reputation of excellence in every aspect. Kevin Warren talks about coming in and meeting with every single employee one-on-one to get suggestions. That's what he's going to be doing over the next couple months, Ken, to get their ideas about what needs to be run better around here. I hope he better bring a brand new legal pad, because there's going to be a lot of suggestions. And him taking that seriously, to me, shows a real commitment to being excellent. And I think that being excellent in those little ways will translate to being excellent on the field. When you demand it of everyone in the building, even in the smallest, most mundane tasks of your job, it makes it so much easier to demand it of the football administration offices.
All right, Jason, I want to get into Ryan Poles. How did you grade his first year? Obviously, we know he's being really tight with the money and free agency to build up to this offseason, but how do you grade everything that he didn't do in year one as he tore it down?
Just a C.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he could have impressed me enough to get an A in this case, because the reason I would give him a C is I would say he did what anybody else would have done. Mm-hmm. All of the moves, pretty much. I mean, if you look at moves he made that were outside the box that you have to evaluate, it would be the second round and third round draft picks. So it would be how he handled those top three picks that he had. And there's some good and bad in that. Mm-hmm. It would be trading Roquan Smith. That was outside the norm of what anyone else would have done. And trading for Chase Claypool, I think, is also outside the norm. Everything else, you know, the full teardown, like, he made the same moves that anybody would have made. He made the same moves Ryan Pace would have made if he'd had the job security to know that he would have had time to do that. Looking at those three moves, the draft picks are hit and miss. I don't agree with trading Roquan Smith. I think that will be a move that the Bears regret for a long time. And Chase Claypool doesn't look good right now. I assume that will get better, but, and even grading on a curve, knowing he was coming in midseason, everybody in and out of the building expected more than what they saw from him in half a season. So for all of those reasons, I would say just a middle of the pack, just give him a C. The real hard work starts now. Mm-hmm. Anybody could have torn it down and driven the Bears to the worst record in the league. Anyone could have done that. Now it's, can you build? Can you make the right moves? Can you make the right move with that number one pick in terms of either taking the surefire talent that you know you need, or if to you that talent is Will Anderson and you think you can get him at four trading back, getting some assets, and still getting the guy that you need, making the right picks with all of those selections, first, second, third round, being really judicious in free agency. And I think that Ryan Poles, from what I can tell, and it's still so early, and you can only find out so much about a guy outside of the actual moves they make. The moves they make are really them telling you what their plan is. I think for him, he errs on the side of being super conservative. Mm-hmm. And while there is some merit to that, if the Bears only improve their roster enough to go from 3 wins to 6 wins next year, I don't think anybody's going to be really pleased with that. I don't think 6-11 is going to feel like significant progress next season. And it is interesting that you have Ryan Poles in this pivotal offseason, this huge offseason, his first one with all the resources, with the money, the draft picks, now an especially high draft pick, the number one pick, and new boss. New boss who probably doesn't want to sit and win 5 or 6 games his first couple of seasons and wait forever for him to turn this around. That definitely ramps up the pressure on him.
Right before we get off with Jason Leisure, we got to talk a little betting. And if we're going to talk betting, we got to talk points bet. We're powered by points bet. So let's do a little gambling chatter, fellas. All right, Tony, what do we got?
So, you guys, this is very interesting. Last week, last episode, we mentioned about the championship games. And we were going to do both, but I saved it. And it's interesting. The line moved on the AFC championship game. The Kansas City Chiefs were 1-point favorites. We're 1-point favorites. Now they are a 2-point underdog.
That ankle.
To the Cincinnati Bengals. So, guys, I guess the first question is reason why the line moved so much. Yep. And then your analysis about the game.
I mean, moved probably a point and a half because of the ankle, and yep, probably another 0.5 because Bengals are the flavor of the week, baby. Yep. They just went and smacked the Bills. Give me the Bengals. I'm not getting off the train. Ooh. If Patrick Mahomes had 2 healthy ankles, I would take the Chiefs as an underdog because that's free money. I can't. Give me Joe Burrow. Give me Lou Anarumo. Give me the Bengals.
Let me preface this by saying I'm on a cold streak that makes me feel like I'm living in Antarctica right now. So,
and his wife is a Chiefs fan. Let's also.
And my wife is from Kansas City. That being said, Patrick Mahomes has entered that Tom Brady era right now, or that vibe where I'm just like, I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes. Give me the ankle. I'll take the Chiefs with the points. Like, Patrick Mahomes is still the guy. If he's good enough to play, he's still really, 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 really good. And I just can't bring myself to bet against Patrick Mahomes. That being said, like I said, I'm on a cold streak like you wouldn't believe.
Listen, Bengals have beaten Patrick Mahomes. I don't have to say the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes 3 times in a row. All right. So, and it's not a fluke.
Including last year when he was healthy in said AFC title game with Tyreek Hill.
Even though, and we've talked about this in the last episode, that they had to really figure out how to open up that offense with Tyreek Hill because they were over-dependent on him. And now, since they've kind of went back to a fundamental as far as spreading the ball around, taking, not going deep gashes, getting the ball underneath, you know, and running the ball, it's benefited them, and it's one thing that I've wanted them to do for a long time. I call Patrick Mahomes baby goat for a reason. I would personally, in my mind, go with the Bengals with looking at the injury. If you watched that game, just how hobbled Patrick Mahomes was out there. In the beginning when he got hurt, I thought, take him out. They wouldn't have won if he's, because I thought they could win. They wouldn't have won when you look at the fact that the Jags put up 20 points. Mm-hmm. I don't think Chad Henne was going to get 27 points, to be honest with you. No. So they ended up, Patrick Mahomes was right forcing his way. And with a high ankle sprain, even though that's the worst, and I'm sure even our producer Claire will tell you, we always joke, it's just the phrase is you want it to be broken than having a high ankle sprain, even though ask someone who broke their ankle if that's what they really want. I haven't, so I'm just putting that out there. Due to the fact, like I said, that Patrick Mahomes is my baby goat, I, even though my mind goes with the Bengals, I'm going with the Chiefs. Are you crazy? I'm going with the Chiefs because that's my squad. and I'm just gonna be. It's not even the Chiefs. It's Patrick Mahomes. I do love Andy Reid. It's Patrick Mahomes, so I gotta ride with my baby.
And you're getting the points. And you're getting the points.
Facts. So I'm getting the points. So I'm probably gonna go up. But really, be honest with you, I think the Bengals, man, are. You said they're the flavor. They're not just the flavor. Their quarterback.
Oh yeah, no, I'm just saying because of what they did, that number is growing because people just watch that. They're legit. It's not a faux flavor.
But I'll say this too. I think we will see. I do think the weather, the inclement weather, negated any rush. And not to say that the Bills are a team without Von Miller that can really pressure the quarterback.
They're bad with that.
They're bad pressuring quarterback in general. Mm-hmm. I do think that if it's not inclement weather, even if it may be somewhat, I think the Chiefs will be able to still perhaps to get to Joe Burrow. So that's one thing I think the Chiefs will be able to do. So again, my mind says Bengals because of look at what they've done in the past and Joe Burrow, but I'm going to ride with who I came here with, man. I can't come to the dance with Patrick Mahomes and be like, hey, I got a new boo over there. Deuces, find your way to the crib. No. So I'm riding with who I came with.
It's true. And like we talk about that heroic performance by the Bengals makeshift offensive line. Will they be able to do that a second week in a row?
Right.
You know, I don't know. Against a better pass rush in better conditions. That's a tall task.
Yeah, it's a tall task. I'm not really too concerned about it. I think the offensive line issues really rear their head when it's in the game, like when the tackle goes down in the game. But if they're spending 2 weeks together as a unit, it's going to be much easier than being like, oh, well, Jonah Williams is out. We got to throw some guy who's never played left tackle in here against the Ravens. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, the inclement weather, that's also why it was better in the second game because they spent a whole week practicing together.
Yeah, it's harder if you're a defensive player in snow because you don't know where they're going.
The Bills defensive game plan was a joke.
All right. That's it. It's time to get your swagger back with PointsBet Sportsbook. PointsBet, your move.
I want to touch on the Roquan Smith thing again. Obviously, you know, he's an excellent player ever since he moved to the Ravens and is playing in a more familiar position. He's been showing out. He got the contract he wanted. So we know all that. But I'm wondering, is there anything else that makes you say you think the Bears are going to regret that trade in the long run?
I think he's great. I think he's a great player. And we know it. This isn't like a projection with Roquan Smith. We all saw this guy from day one play every snap. All of Chicago knows this guy's a great player. And one of the very respected organizations, like we were talking about the Patriots and the Steelers, one of the very respected organizations, the Ravens, said, absolutely, we would give up a second round pick for this guy. And absolutely, we will give him the $100 million contract that he wants. I don't think when you're rebuilding, you want to let a 25-year-old all-pro talent leave. What are you hoping to get with that second round pick? A Roquan Smith? I mean, well, you have that. You had that. And I think that was a really messy situation. It would be interesting, like 10 years from now, to hear Ryan Poles' real thoughts on real self-evaluation on how all that went. It was really murky with Roquan not having an agent and Roquan obviously thinking he was worth $100 million and Ryan Poles thinking either he's not that good or that position is not that important, so we're not spending like that on an off-the-ball linebacker like him. And another team thought, oh, yeah, we're happy to have that. And he makes his first all-pro team. He makes his first Pro Bowl. I think he was picked as – they're not having a Pro Bowl, but he was picked as a Pro Bowl starter this year. And he's 25. I would expect Roquan Smith to continue to be just an absolute awesome linebacker, a defensive – like so versatile. All the things he does fits the modern game so well. And the saddest thing is – I think that he would have been really, really, really good for the Bears in Matt Eberflus's defense eventually, like next season. I think it would have been a perfect fit for both sides.
Jason, I want to get back to what you said about the draft, and we don't have to talk about the third round pick in Bayless. We kind of all know as far as him not having a productive season, but looking at Jaquan Brisker and also looking at Kyler Gordon, what were your thoughts on Ryan Poles selecting those two gentlemen? And you look at a Pickens with the Steelers and people were saying how the Bears needed perhaps a receiver. Would you have changed or would you have went an opposite way than what Ryan Poles did with his first couple selections in last year's draft?
I guess not, because I like those players, Brisker and Gordon, and those were major problems. I don't want to go back and play the result on this because – at the time, I was totally on board with him taking those two guys in the second round.
Me too.
And a lot of people weren't, Ken. A lot of people were like outraged that he did that.
Secondary is trash, Jason.
Do you guys remember what the secondary looked like that he inherited from Ryan? I mean, that was reason enough to fire Ryan Pace. That was unconscionable to go into a season in 2021 and say we got Jalen Johnson and the practice squad playing cornerback. That was ridiculous. You think back, and the Bears went into a season with one cornerback and no left tackle that year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you do that? How can you do that with your job on the line? How can you do that any season? So for Ryan Poles to come in and say that the entire secondary is on fire because of how much it's getting torched by everybody in the league, and we've got Artie Burns out there starting at cornerback, and maybe Thomas Graham can be something. Like, that's how crazy it got. Thomas Graham came in and played like one half of a good game, and everyone was like, maybe he could be a starter. No, you need real cornerbacks, and they still need them. Like, yep. They still only have two. You need three. You need three starting cornerbacks. I forgot what the question was because I got so outraged by the fact that they did that in 2021. I like both of those players, and those are both really big needs. The receiver question is a big one because you could have had George Pickens instead of one of those, but you prioritized those guys and thought you knew something with Velus Jones. Maybe not. Maybe you didn't. I mean, maybe he ends up being a return guy who's really good. You're not looking for return guys in the third round. The other thing with Velus Jones, I know you said we weren't going to talk about him, but just a quick thought on him. Even if it works out, even if he ends up being what you thought he would be, where does he fit? He's not going to be, now that you have Claypool, he's not going to jump Claypool. He's not going to jump Mooney. And you still need someone that's better than both of those guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's through the draft or free agency or a trade. Usually it's a trade with wide receivers. There's guys that could be available that are not free agents right now. I don't even know, like, what's Velus Jones then? Your fourth? In a best case scenario, he's your fourth or fifth? That's not even a real job.
Jason, I want to get to Justin Fields. How did you view his second season? There's been a lot of talk. I know we've all talked about it in the media center. How did you view the progress he made and where he has to go? Because there's kind of a sense of, if you say he has to get better as a passer, which he definitely does, you hate him. And that's obviously not the case.
We can all agree he got better.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, we would debate to what degree did he improve, but anybody would say he improved. He was better than his rookie season. And of course he would be, because you clear out all the dysfunction up top, all the dysfunction in the coaching staff and this plan of let's redshirt this guy. Let's treat this guy like he's from East Dakota State or something like that. And instead of coming off the top of college football right there with Trevor Lawrence, let's have him sit out a year and learn. Like they
spent this guy's first like off season having him call plays like you would in the huddle
into his iPhone and then sending it in for them to listen to, as if Justin Fields didn't know how to do that. Like, I think they went to baby steps with him when he didn't need it. He was far ahead of that.
Yep.
So clearing all of that out of the way and getting a functional coaching staff with Eberflus and Getsy and Janoco in there, I'm sure helped a lot. You still had the same problem personnel wise though. You still had totally inferior offensive line, almost nothing at wide receiver. I mean, there's so many plays where you see him drop back. The other team gets immediate pressure with four guys and all the receivers are covered. Yep. What's he supposed to do in that situation? Through all of that, through them doing everything possible in his first 2 years to hinder him, he got better. And I think that really should count for something. I would not be interested in trading Justin Fields. He has a long way to go. I would say that he's on track, though. The question is whether he'll stay on that track and keep getting better. But I think he's on track, given that it's his second season and there has been so much working against him over the first 2 years. And also, he's the best running quarterback in the league. He's better than Lamar Jackson. Not by a lot. I mean, you could take either one. But he is the best running quarterback in the league to me. And that's not fluky. That's not Mitch Trubisky throwing six touchdowns against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Like, that is something he could do every year. And you would rather not have him get such a big chunk, such a big percentage. I think it was like 35% of his total yardage output on the ground. You'd like that to be more like in the low 20s, like where Lamar Jackson is.
Yep.
And Josh Allen. But having that is great, because with all these quarterbacks, any of them, whether it's Mahomes, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, who can save you on third and nine? And Patrick Mahomes can save you on third and nine with some great throw. Justin Fields can save you on third and nine with a 16-yard run. That works too. So I like the strides he made. He needs to make a lot more of them. You can't be out there throwing for 150 yards a game. That can't be it. That doesn't mean that he should stop running, but he needs both. We need some kind of formula where he's getting like 60 to 70 yards per game on the ground and 220 or 230 passing. Now he's in the top tier of quarterbacks if he can do that. But you had a game, his last game he played, he threw for 75 yards.
Against a bad defense.
Yeah.
We could come up with a million excuses for that, but who does that? 75?
Against a defense that got torched by Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, nobody does that. Nobody just has a passing game of 75 yards. That can't happen.
I'm just on a podcast with Jason Leeser. Jason, just a couple more questions before you get out of here. One, what would you do in your opinion as far as the draft and free agency?
The draft, you are wanting a Hall of Fame level player with that pick. And whether that pick ends up being fourth or eighth, first, fourth, eighth, whatever, you're looking for a Hall of Fame level player. I would love it if I think the Bears would be smart to get off of the quarterback thing. I would stick with Justin Fields. And I think that is the least likely thing that would happen, is that they would trade Justin Fields and take one of these quarterbacks. I think that they need to identify, is it Carter or Anderson that they want really at the top? If they were to keep the pick and draft first overall, who would you take? I'm kind of guessing that their answer would be Carter. I would say Anderson. That's what I would want. My priority list would always go quarterback, pass rusher. Yep. And if we're going to say that the quarterback problem is, you know, we've checked that box for now, then it's got to be pass rusher. So if you think you can get Will Anderson at four, then I would definitely trade back, get the extra assets, and still get the guy you want at four. As far as the other, you know, the other rounds, you're just looking to, like, you know, second round picks. You're looking for starters. You're looking for guys that could come in, or whatever you get out of trading back, you know, extra assets. You're looking for guys that can start right away for you at need positions. Probably four open jobs on the offensive line. Probably looking for a wide receiver that could start right away. Even if you're not able to get a guy to come over the top of Claypool and Mooney, you're looking for someone right behind them. You're looking for a third. Still need help at cornerback. Still need linebackers. The entire defensive line could be replaced. There's so many holes for them. When you get into free agency, it's tough. It's tough because the really, really, that's not usually a good way to build in the NFL. It's not like basketball and baseball. Like, the really, really good players that you would want usually don't hit the market. They're probably going to have to look into, at wide receiver, for example, making a trade. Tyreek Hill was not a free agent. AJ Brown was not a free agent. Diggs was not a free agent when he moved. There's other guys. There's probably a list of 10 guys, 10 really good receivers. Who'd you just say, Alex?
Devontae Adams.
Thank you. Yes. Not a free agent. Like, there's plenty, or maybe he was tagged or whatever, but like, there were plenty of guys that were thought not to be available to go get, but turns out they were. So maybe DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, somebody like that. DeAndre Hopkins is a name that comes up a lot because they're rebuilding and he's expensive. So that could be a guy that they look at. He's 30 or 31, I think.
31.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say, and he's got 2 years left on his deal, I would say I'd still do that, because how long are you planning on this taking for you to get good again? Like, I think he could still have 2 or 3 good seasons. If you think it's going to take, there's no way that their timeline could be that it will take longer than that for them to be good again. So I would definitely be interested in something like that.
Jason, look, really appreciate you. Everybody check out the Sports with Jason podcast and follow Jason at Jason Leisure. Jason, have a terrific day.
All right, Ken, Josh, Alex, see you guys.
Hey, thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, that's it for the Under Center podcast. Make sure you watch this entire episode on YouTube. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we always appreciate it.